This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Welcome back. It is the Midday Show. We are live today in Clearwater for Phillies spring training coverage brought to you by Surfside Iced Tea and Vodka, proud partner of the Philadelphia Phillies. Well, we got a game today, Hugh. We're live at BayCare Ballpark, Clearwater. Phillies Blue Jays today. Hey. On the call for that game today will be Greg Murphy. Greg joins us right now. Greg, how are you?
I'm doing great, guys. Welcome down to, windy Clearwater today.
It is windy. So, yeah, there's some – so we originally were going to be outside, Hugh, doing the show today on the porch out there. But there's a couple things. The wind is whipping.
And then also –
and we thought Murph by the tiki bar, that might be a problem before his broadcast. So we did you a favor.
Thank you. I appreciate it. It's a little bit of a walk. So, you know, I can keep my distance from up here, so that's good.
So, Greg, tell us your impressions of this team and really how you feel they're set up entering the season. We were having a discussion this morning. Are we underrating them? Because it feels like in the city, there's less juice for the team this year, and there's more skeptics than there have been the last 2 years. And I think we are actually now underrating them because we're so frustrated with how the playoffs have ended. We're forgetting they won 95 last year. And until the Dodgers overtook them in late September, they had the best record based on the whole season.
Yeah, look, I get that. I do understand why fans are a little bit hesitant to jump all in again because, you know, it's a painful thing when you know, what happens at the end of last season happens. You know, you feel like this team's going to, you know, run away with things early in the year, and then, you know, they don't make it out of the first round of the playoffs. So I get it. I get why there's a little bit of hesitancy. I think across Major League Baseball, the Phillies are really kind of flying under the radar. Yep. Everyone's talking about the Mets, the resurgence of the Braves, of course the Dodgers, who are, you know, fantastic. I think this Phillies team is in a perfect spot. I think they are flying under the radar, and I think that's exactly where they need to be. And, you know, let them talk about everybody else. This team is so well-positioned to have another season like they did last year, and you just have to hope that they're peaking more in August and September than they did, you know, coming out of the gate last year in April.
Do you think that the reason why, because I never think for a minute that going into any season that you're not going into it trying to win the World Series or any championship that goes along with the game that you're playing. But why do you think this year it just feels like they're kind of keeping it a little bit closer to the vest? You think it's because of what happened in the last couple of years?
Yeah, I think from a fan standpoint, I think that's what it is. And, you know, from maybe a national media standpoint, there's just shinier objects that the folks are looking at. Mm-hmm. But look, at the end of the day, I don't need to tell you guys, you win with pitching, you win with defense. You know, this offense certainly is good enough to score enough runs to carry this team. And the pitching is as good as it gets. I mean, this starting rotation that is, again, quietly flying under the radar is as good as any in baseball. It's probably the best in baseball. And I think some people are a little down on the bullpen. I'm probably a little bit more bullish on the guys that we have. Jose Alvarado, I don't know how much you've seen of him this spring.
He has
been just lights out. And Romano, I think, is a terrific addition. You know, as long as these guys stay healthy, and you can say that about every team across Major League Baseball, as long as they stay healthy, this Phillies team is built exactly the way you need to be built to win a championship. So,
you know, Greg, I'm kind of curious about this as well because, you know, over the last couple of years that we've seen the Phillies play, Topper doesn't really make a whole lot of changes during the course of the season. Given that this team has, for lack of a better way of saying it, fallen short in the postseason, do you think that there'll be more of an urgency to change things if needed be a lot quicker than it has been in the past?
Yeah, it's an interesting question, Hugh. I don't know the answer to that. I guess just at first blush, I would say probably not, because I think, you know, Rob's been around the game a long, long time, and that is the way he approaches it. He believes that sense of comfort, guys knowing where they are and what they're expected to do on a daily basis is a formula for winning. And it's hard to argue. I mean, he certainly has gotten the most out of the team over the last couple of years. So I don't think so. Mm-hmm. I think what might be interesting, you know, come the trade deadline, depending on where the team is just how urgent and big the team will go, Dave Dombrowski and his group will go at that point. They've made moves at the trade deadline over the last couple of years. Some have paid off, some have not. You know, I do think there's a sense of urgency within the organization of, hey, the window is open and it's wide open, but we all know how quickly it can start to close. So I do think that'll be interesting, but, you know, that's getting a ways out.
Yeah, and that's one thing the last 2 years they haven't done. You know, you've said they've added, but they've almost purposely not gone all in, right? They haven't traded in the big prospects to try to win. Now maybe this is the year to do it because of where the team is. Greg Murphy with us here on the Midday Show. We're live from Clearwater Day. Greg, I gotta ask you. Everyone's gotta have their flag in the ground. Are you a Turner leadoff guy or are you a Schwarber leadoff guy? Because it's funny, this spring training, and maybe he has made a decision, Rob, and he hasn't told us, but it seems like in today's lineup it's back with Schwarber leadoff. He's going back and forth here, so I don't know what that means, but we're gonna find out 10 days from now when they line up for their first game and the lineup is out. If you were Rob, where would you go with it? Because they've had so much success with Schwarber, but I understand the need to maybe change it a little bit and maybe it ignites Turner by putting him one.
Yeah, and I think you just nailed it, Joe. I think Trey Turner is going to be the leadoff guy for this team for the majority of the season. That said, if it doesn't go well out of the gate, you know, they might give it a little bit of a shorter leash.
Yep.
Because Kyle Schwarber has proven that he can be the leadoff guy, and they can win a lot of games with him at that spot. But I do think that Rob would like to see Trey in that leadoff spot, get a couple of guys on base for the big boppers, and allow them to, you know, kind of take advantage of Kyle Schwarber's power. Instead of getting one, maybe you get two, you get three on any given day. So that's the way I would go. And but no one's asking me. But I do think if you're asking me to put a bet on it, I bet Trey Turner's the guy.
Yeah, I think that's where they're leaning, but it's interesting that he keeps going back and forth in these spring games. I'm just giving both of these lineups run here. All right, so you mentioned some of the new guys. Now, this isn't a year where there's a huge name, right? They didn't sign Trey Turner this offseason or sign Schwarber or Castillo, but they did add some players. So you mentioned Romano there. And Jesus Luzardo, I think, is going flying under the radar as an acquisition. I mean, he is
big time.
A couple years ago, he pitched against the Phillies one of those playoff games, and he was electric. Like, he's got real stuff. What have you noticed with some of the new guys that maybe aren't household names but will be, you know, a month from now?
Yeah, what I've noticed is no one's talking about them. And it's amazing to me. You know, I remember 2 years ago sitting in the booth next to Larry Anderson. Jesus Luzardo was pitching against us. You know, 2 seasons ago, terrific lineup, and he just – it was absolute lights out. And I remember Larry turning to me and said, "Why don't we have a guy like this coming up in our organization?" You know, he was kind of venting a little bit. Like, where's our young talent? This kid's absolutely outstanding. And now here we are 2 years later, and he's our number five starter. And I really think that, again, it's not being talked about because he's not Juan Soto and he's not some of the other guys that have made moves. But I think Jesus Luzardo is going to be as big of an acquisition to this team as anybody else that moved around baseball this year. So I think it's been great. Romano, again, you know, he's a two-time All-Star. Only 1 year removed from being a back-to-back All-Stars up there in Toronto. If he's healthy, he's been really good this spring, and I think that's a great move as well. And then it'll be interesting to see what Joe Ross and what he can bring to the table, add to that bullpen. So I know they didn't make big splashy moves, but I do think the moves that they made this offseason are going to be helpful.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value Surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Survivor 48 is here. And after every episode, dig deep into the show with On Fire, the official Survivor podcast. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
How do you stack up the division in your mind? Because it's as good as I've ever seen it with three teams. I was looking at power rankings this morning. All three, Mets, Braves, Phillies, were all in the top five of baseball. Yeah. And now they're obviously all in the same division here. So, I mean, Greg, someone's going to have to finish third and exactly. Probably be the last seed in the playoffs, but that team could still win the World Series. It's been the Braves division. Phillies took it last year, and now you have the Mets, who add maybe the best hitter in baseball to a team that made the NLCS last year. How do you look at those three teams?
Honestly, I think it's a battle for the division between the Phillies and the Braves, and I think the Mets are that third-place team. I just don't think the Mets have the pitching to make it happen. Look, Soto their lineup is really, really good. There's no doubt about it. Probably a tick better than the Phils, you know, from top to bottom. That said, you know, the Phillies scored, what, the third most runs in baseball last year, or the fourth most runs, something along those lines, and they're rolling it back with those guys. There's no reason to think that they can't do that again. So then, you know, as I said before, you add in that starting pitching. That's a pretty good combination. I think the Braves are going to be really good again. But again, you know, Acuna's not coming back for a couple of weeks, so they'll probably get out of the gate a little bit slower. So the Phils could, you know, build that buffer that they did a year ago and go on and run away with the division. And that'd be great to see. But it's a terrific division, and they're going to beat each other up. There's no doubt about it. But I think it's Phillies and Braves, so I'm a homer, so I'll take the Phillies.
We'll take that. Back-to-back years. All right, let's end with this, Greg. Max Kepler is another new guy. And I know he's been hitting well down here in spring training. What do you think of him? Because, you know, a few years ago, his numbers were as good as any right fielder. And then, you know, he's gotten a little older. He had an injury last year, so he's fallen off. But that he's an interesting guy, because if he's what he was a couple years ago, then they will be top five in runs scored again, because it's another addition to an already good lineup.
Yeah, and again, he's a guy that not a whole lot of people are talking about. I think he's going to be really good. You know, he's a guy that has potential 30 home run power, and he's going to be hitting in the back three of this Phillies lineup. So think about, you know, that kind of production at the back end of the lineup in terms of power. You know, the big knock is, or the big question is, can he hit left-handers? But he's done it his entire career. You know, if you ask Max, he'll say, I don't know why this is a question. I've done it my entire career. Last year, he battled injury, didn't hit, you know, righties or lefties as well as he generally does. But he's a guy that is, again, quietly under the radar. He's a terrific defensive player. He'll move from, you know, primarily a right fielder, but he'll go over there to left. That should not be an issue for him. So, again, you know, there wasn't enough production from the outfield last year consistently, especially in terms of the power numbers. And if you're going to have Marsh in center field as your everyday guy, which it sounds like that's what they're going to do, you add a little power out there on left. I think it's a great move. You know, I hope he stays healthy, but we've seen him hit a couple of bombs so far this spring. And, you know, there was a couple of coaches we were down with in Fort Myers with the Twins when the Phillies were taking on the Twins, and obviously he spent his entire career there. And we talked to a couple of guys there, and he said, you watch, he's going to match 30 home runs. He'll hit you 30 home runs. So sign me up, right?
I mean, if you had 30 home runs to this lineup, that's a lot of power. Greg, we appreciate you hopping on. Enjoy the game. Have a good broadcast. And if you need us after the show, we'll be at the Tiki Bar, right?
I might just see you there.
All right, guys,
enjoy it.
There he is, Greg Murphy with us here. We're live in Clearwater today for the Midday Show. 215-592-9494. That is how you hop aboard. So, Hugh, the lineup thing, which I assumed 2 weeks ago they were going with Turner, but Topper keeps going back and forth. Today, we have the game here today in a couple hours, Schwarber is hitting leadoff again. Like, I wonder if he doesn't know yet, or he's just trying to give it both run until the end of spring training. Because you would think if he knew, he would let them all settle into what they're going to do. The season opens 10 days from now.
Yeah, you're probably right about that. He's probably just trying to do a little bit more tweaking. Probably, I'm thinking, what is it? He wants more data. you know, so he can make a decision on what he wants to do, give him a couple more at-bats, you know, switch the lineup just a little bit more, just to have a little bit more data on the situation.
I wonder, Kyle, how long of a leash he's going to give whatever he goes with. Like, let's say it's Turner next Thursday against the Nationals. Is he going to let it ride for a month? Or if Trey has a slump, which he's going to have his slumps, right? That's what Trey Turner does. He goes up and down. Or is he going to switch it up right away? Because I don't mind the switch, but I think you need to give everyone a little bit of time.
Yeah.
Otherwise, what's the point of making the switch anyway?
Yeah, right. I agree. And at least in terms of the data, like, we have plenty of data on Kyle Schwarber as the leadoff hitter.
It works.
He's been doing it
for
a few years, and he does do it well. But the interesting thing is, and we talked about this a little bit earlier, are they going to be quick to make adjustments in season, right? Like, will they have that sense of urgency? They can't afford to risk missing the playoffs in what's a stacked NL. Like,
right.
The National League is really good. So, I mean, they can't do this thing where they sort of just sit around and go, yeah, you know, like, it's a long season, like, it'll get better. Like, I tend to think that they're going to be a little bit quicker to make those kind of adjustments this year.
Well, they might. It's bizarre to me that we still don't know, and Topper still doesn't seem to know which direction he's going on this. Because 10 days before the season, I would think you'd have it locked in. He's going back. And again, what he does in a spring training game doesn't have to mean that's the lineup next week. I'm just trying to wrap my mind around what's the point of switching it back and forth. I don't think he knows yet. I think he's trying to workshop it. 215-592-9494. Are we underrating the Phillies as a fan base? It was good to hear Greg talk about some of the newcomers, too, because they are those guys have flown under the radar. It does feel like every time we talk about the Phillies, people will say, well, they didn't do anything this offseason. And they didn't sign a big name. But, I mean, Jesus Luzardo is a good pitcher. I mean,
yeah.
They did add. I think that trade happened right before an Eagles game. So I think it really did fly under the radar.
Yeah.
Like, people forgot it happened.
And then you talk about the fact that you're the third best hitting team and get scoring runs in Major League Baseball. That's big. It's just unfortunate for us that you fell asleep or you fell off at the worst time you could possibly fall off. So that's something else. So I think that with that, the fact that you have that going for you and you have the influx of this young talent potentially coming in, I think they feel good about where they're at.
Let's go to the phone lines here. Will in the Northeast is up. What's up, Will?
Dream team, how y'all doing today?
Hey, Will. What's up, buddy?
Hey, man, the solution to this thing is the same thing with the Eagles, man. As we can see, this is a great team. I don't know why Rob said it's not. It is. You know what I'm saying? How the coach is not going to say his team is not great when they've been there 3 years in a row, right? So the whole thing is this, right? They mentally not there, bro. I mean, anybody can see that. They keep – even with Rob, man. Rob T, you got to step your game up, man, as a manager.
Well, Topper's got it. Topper, I mean, the buttons he hits in October need to work. I mean, that's how he's going to be judged here when it's all said and done, October.
Hey, listen, he got to hit them buttons. But listen, he got to be a little tougher, too, because I'm sitting here, oh, yeah, it was a great game. We just need to make adjustments. Make the adjustments. We sit to the excuses. It's now or never now. Because the whole thing is, this team ain't getting no younger, man. Like, we keeping this team together because we know they're great. You got to bring the greatness out of them. I'm tired of hearing these excuses. It's time for all these high-paid guys to step up because guess what? The owner delivered. He gave y'all the money. And y'all not playing like y'all got the money. So it's time for y'all to play, man. Listen, if you need me in that locker room, I'll get this team on the
I think they
man.
Do, Will. I mean, actually, they can't hurt. Yeah, I mean,
the whole thing is they need their confidence built back up. They got to know that they are great. They are the number one team. They're the team to beat. And all they got to do is know it themselves. They don't know it. They because of them failures and toward the end of the season. And that's what they keep looking back on. And I'm going to say this and I'm in. Like I was saying with Jalen. Jalen did exactly what I said. I said this two seasons in a row. Play them tapes back when y'all left off that field in the World Series. Keep looking at that. And let that be a reminder of, guess what? I don't want to feel or look that way again. That's what you got to do. But, hey, Rob T, you got to step your game up, man. You got to be a little harder on these guys and get these guys in order and get these guys ready to play.
Will, I appreciate you, man. I don't think Will's the only person who feels that way about Topper. I do wonder if a manager can change his personality. Like, they know him. He's laid back. I don't expect him to start yelling and screaming. But remember last year when it felt like he would almost give away a game once in a while? Like, there was a lack of urgency it felt like they had down the stretch of the season. I wonder if he's different this year with that.
I think you have to be. I mean, there was a lot that didn't change as far as the lineup goes and the personnel goes. So I think that there has to be a little tweaking of certain things that you do. That's why I asked Murph about, you know, if there, is there going to be potentially a sense of urgency to change things earlier. I think that as the season progresses and you have your finger on the pulse of the team, that it's inevitable, you know, because you don't want the power outage, because that's the biggest thing. That's the one thing that we're worried about. Yeah. We're worried about. We're not worried about the regular season. I think that we know that this team is built to win in the regular season. It's the postseason, and what adjustments they make in the postseason that's going to allow them to get over the hump.
Like at a certain point, it's got to come down to the players to just do their jobs. I understand that Will wanted to get on Rob Thompson there, but can the $300 million shortstop hit like he's being paid to?
And play shortstop like he's paid
right.
to.
Right. Yeah. Like, I mean, these guys, like he mentioned all the money that they're paid. Like, it's going to come down to the players and if they're playing their best baseball at the right time.
Well, it is. And unfortunately, well, it's weird because they have won a lot of playoff games with this group. I mean, like, you go back to 22, 23, they made it far. It's like, it's not an every year thing where they go out in the first round, but last year they did, and that's in everyone's head. 215-592-9494. That's how you hop in. All right, so are we underrating the Phillies here as a fan base? I'm going to check in on our Twitter poll here, and then we got to welcome John Brazier in, who's with us here, because he has a request he wants to throw out here. John Brazier's going to hop on the air with us here live in the booth. Are we as fans underrating the Phillies? How about this? 54% saying no. That means that to me, those 54% are saying no. They're good, not great. They haven't won a championship yet. And they have to prove different. Like, I think it's continuing. We're still underrating the Phillies. These people voting are wrong. I mean, we're clearly
they're wrong. You're wrong.
They're siding with Hugh Douglas, which is always wrong. I mean, you guys know that. If you're voting with Hugh, you are wrong. That's the bottom line. All right, let's get Brazier in here. John Brazier with us here as we're broadcasting live for Bay Carrot Ballpark. Phillies and the Blue Jays today. John, how we doing?
I'm doing great. St. Patty's Day, beautiful weather out here.
T-bar's jumping.
Literally, yep. The gates open at 11 o'clock, and I told you there'd be a stampede towards that tiki bar, and look at it right now.
Oh, it filled up.
It is jumping. So, yes, there's nothing. We're always home on St. Patty's Day. It's the Major League Baseball grants us that every year, back to when Tug was playing. So it's and Tug would have the St. Patty's Day green, which we used to wear. So it's always fun in Clearwater, and just the town itself goes nuts. So look out tonight.
So we're gonna. Well, I can.
I said, yeah, look out.
I mean, look out tonight. It's 11 o'clock. The bars are open.
Look out today, this afternoon, tonight, tomorrow.
Yep. All right. So we got this game today. Are you ready for the start of the regular season?
I am. I'm starting. You know, we're 1 week away.
Yep.
Obviously, I love being down here in sunny Clearwater. But, you know, you start missing your dog. You start missing the routine. So I'm looking forward to that. But I'm also very excited because right now, knock on wood, you know, we are healthy. Again, knock on wood. Big time. We are people that were looking to have good springs or having good springs. I mean, Sanchez is just lights out. Alvarado.
He looks phenomenal, Sanchez.
We talked about Alvarado. Max Kepler. I didn't realize how big he is. So it's everything's kind of. The bullpen guys are doing what the bullpen guys are supposed to do, and as Murph said, this rotation is really unbelievable. I mean, I think it matches the Halladay, Cliff Lee, Cole Hamels rotation we had. I mean, it has the potential to be one of the best in the well. You got
Dodgers.
He mentioned the Dodgers obviously.
Yep.
Seattle Mariners have a very good rotation. Braves should have a pretty good rotation.
But the one through five here, the fact that Lizardo is a five, is if he's what he was 2 years ago, that's as good of a fifth starter as you'll ever see.
Well, and then look what you got coming in potentially in June or July, Andrew Painter.
Yep.
So you've got depth as well, and you've got some other young guys down there. So, it's going to be a really fun spring/summer in Philadelphia. But I got a job, Joe, for somebody over here.
A job, yeah.
Well, Hugh's come down here many times, and one time, I think it was back in 2008, Hugh, remember we took you down in the batting cage and Milt Thompson gave you hitting lessons down there?
Yeah.
Right?
They looking for a player?
I was thinking of something to do with Hugh, and there was a couple choices. I could have had him dressed up in a leprechaun outfit and did something with the Fanatic.
That would have been great.
Which would have been fun, but Hugh might have punched me. Then I was thinking he could shoot from like the corned beef cannon that the Fanatic has, being St. Patty's Day, but I'm not sure if that's working. But, Hugh, are you ready?
We're
putting you to work. Okay, so at 12:30, you're going to go with me. We're going to go down on the field, And I know you did this back at Citizens Bank Park, but you have not done it at BayCare Ballpark.
Throw out a pitch.
Douglas is throwing out the first pitch today on St. Patty's Day.
Was not prepared for that. That's probably going to be.
What do you think?
It's the same distance.
Yeah, but
the mound is a move.
Yeah, but you know what? Mentally, I was prepared for it the last time. This might be way worse.
What time have we got here? We got about an hour.
You have an hour to mentally prepare.
Yeah, a little over an hour.
Yeah, this is going to be. Yeah, way to embarrass yourself at St. Patty's Day. That's fine. Not a problem.
Well, do you want to wear Kyle Quinn's leprechaun hat? Would that help?
I mean, it probably wouldn't help, but I mean.
Hey, you got the Lucky Charm shirt on.
Yeah,
I mean, you're ready to go.
Let's go for it.
Here's the good news.
Let's embarrass ourselves.
Everyone in the crowd is at the tiki bar. They're not going to probably pay attention anyway.
Yeah, they're not.
You could bounce that thing for 45 feet.
They'll never know.
They're knee deep in Guinness right now. You're fine.
Yeah. All right, there it is. Hugh Douglas around the first pitch today. All right, John, we appreciate you hopping on and putting Hugh to work here today. All right, we got a lot to talk about here on the show. 215-592-9494. Are we underrating this Phillies team? I think we are. Hugh, does it feel that way? Where do you come down? Are we underrating this team? And on the other side, we got to get into another player that left the Eagles. The Eagles have lost a ton here. Mekhi Becton, the latest one. We'll hit that next. Our reaction to it, your phone call as well. We're live today, Philly Spring Training on Sports Radio 94 WIP. And FanDuel, in partnership with Valley Forge Casino, is turning the excitement up even higher for college basketball. Through the first two rounds of the tournament, bet on the lowest winning seed of the day, and you'll win a share of $1 million with bonus bets. Now, that's an upset. You will not be upset about. Look, there's a lot of really, really good favorites and dogs. I think Michigan goes down early. That's the dog on bet. That's the favorite I'm betting against. FanDuel is the best place to bet on the tourney. You can bet on everything from spreads to money lines and team totals, plus so much more. Visit FanDuel.com/GIGLIO to download America's number one sportsbook today and back your dog of the day. Because in March, anything could happen. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official partner of 94 WIP.